Welcome back to the Electrify Podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo, North America's largest EV festival coming to a major city near you. All right. Well, joining me here is Big Mike. Why am I not Big Jared? Like, if you're Big Mike, I should be bigger Jared.
If you think about it in just that tunnel of a way, yes. Ooh, but the okay. Big is not, it has a lot to do with more with my heart, Jared.
And there it is. And that, you know, we've been joking around, Mike. I mean, we go back to JDM days. And if you don't know who Big Mike is, the Big Mike on Instagram, this gentleman, he's a thought provoker. He talks about his heart, talks about his passion, talks about mental health, just all of the, you know, just common ground, man. Like you're a lover of life, but Big Mike, notably, you're a cartooner. You've been in some amazing projects and products. Yeah. How would you describe what you do? Because professionally, you do kind of what do you do for work again? It's like you're crazy smart.
I don't know about all that, but I mean, outside of the car world, I have a career that's in healthcare. I've worked in that field for maybe 12 consecutive years now. But you know, yeah. Within the car realm, for those that don't know, I'm from Southern California, so it's the mecca of car culture, and I just started off as a street kid, you know, looking up to older guys and from drag racing to, street cars, and ended up finding my place in the Japanese car, like subcultures, and then specifically Hondas. I mean, I love all kinds of cars over the years. I've done a series of cars, but, you know, that's kind of what I'm more known for, and, you know, covers of magazines, and then ended up being a journalist for those same magazines, and then SEMA and PRI, and I judge Concours d'Elegance events, and I travel and host events all over the world, from Indonesia to the UK to all over the US. So the evolution over the past 20 some odd years is pretty amazing, because I never knew that any of this would happen. And that's what kind of makes it the coolest, is that it just organically came to pass, and I'm blessed. So,
yeah, man. And you know, your shirt says thinkers here, and some people that see the video, and I think, you know, think bigger podcasts is, so I think overall you have just this air about you, and we were joking right before we hit record of you've been trying to have me on your podcast for like years, and after any joke I'm like, okay, well, somebody else got to book it for me, because you were booked. It's like, oh, like the Big Mic, okay, cool, let's
hey, you talk. Know what, man, it's all good. Like, we're all out here, you know, multitasking and grinding, and sometimes the alignment of things can be very difficult, but it's very, very cool that like I said, the organic evolution of things, to then find ourselves being able to be conversing on this podcast in this context. Yep. It's just super cool. So, you know, I'm all about it.
Yep. And the conversation here is, like I say, not exclusively EV, but it's sure. Electrified podcast. And it maybe, like you said, if you think in that scope of Big Mike, it's bigger heart Mike, you know, and big thinker Mike, you know. Yes. But you know, when you talk about EVs, what's your relationship like with EVs? Because if you haven't, go ahead and look it up right now. Big Mike, your Prelude, it was you know, heavily touted. It won, it was part of Battle of the Builders at SEMA show. But what's your relationship like with EV? Do you like it, hate it, love it? Where are you at?
So there, I have a few different perspectives on it. I mean, as technology advances, there's a part of pretty much anyone that's going to have to acknowledge the inevitability of it. So let's just start with that. I mean, as someone who grew up with combustion, I mean, do I want to hear something like fire up, and does that whole process, is that going to be what resonates with me forever? Absolutely. But I mean, you know, do I knock people who are purists about it or who hate it? No, because I can understand why. But then there is a certain part of people where logic and any type of, they can't even verbalize why, they just hate it to hate it. And right. At some point you're like, okay, well, I mean, if you can't qualify why you hate it, you know, I'm going to poke some holes in that, because with any perspective you have to be able to qualify it to some degree. Right. Or if you're just like, I hate it to hate it, then cool. At least you know what that is. Right. But I mean, it's like I said, the evolution of technology, it would be like someone saying we shouldn't have ever gone to coil over plug. It should stay distributor, because that's what I grew up with. You can't right. do that, right? I mean, you can. There's hundreds of thousands of people running around on distributors right now in their cars. If you want to say they're fat, they're fast. So do you have to? Is it necessary? it's all kind of relative, but yeah, there's that part of me that appreciates technology and understands how, I mean, you can get into something that makes zero noise. Like, you just have no visceral external input and it just throws you in the back of your seat and you're like, what the hell is happening? Because there's no audio input. It just goes, right? So it's cool in every way. I think it's cool. Do I like the way that it, I mean, this might end up kind of going in the conspiratorial route, but do I like the way that it, you know, some people would immediately say it's conspiratorial, but like the way that it's just, you kind of blink your eyes and it's being jammed down everyone's throat. That's a little bit weird. And anytime any governmental scenario starts doing something, you're just like, yeah, okay, so 6 months ago, none of y'all even talked about this. And then now all of a sudden it's like, no more combustion cars sold in California at this, and by this number, zero. And it's just like, okay, all right, well, how about, what are you going to do with the 50 million combustion cars that exist? Where are you going to put them? That doesn't even make any sense, right? Are you going to crush them and just put them somewhere, like the state of Rhode Island, just eliminate the whole state with cars? It doesn't make any sense. Some of that stuff doesn't make any sense to me. But anyways, whether it be objectively and observationally, guys who are taking 30s Ford bodies and Bel Airs and then Hondas now with my boy Ryan from Rywire making kits, and it was inevitable. So you can hate it all you want, but the builders and the creatives and the people who just want to do something different, whether they even like it or not, is sort of secondary, because they're just like, it's something new to learn, it's something new to try. So they were going to do it anyway. Did it need to be as mainstream? That's where people can argue the most. But I mean, hey, it's here. You don't have to do it unless, I don't know, you live in a place where they're going to force it on you. But other than that, you can just continue doing what you do and hate or not hate those doing something else.
And you know, that's a great perspective, all of it, you know, just between, I would say acknowledge it, because like you said, it's inevitable. But what I really enjoy about the EV stuff is the technology, right? And the progression. And, you know, we had this conversation, I was at Snap-on headquarters, and we're talking about, you know, plug-in hybrids. Like, that's not a full-on, you know, EV. Yep. But the technology and how it complements, like you say, it's not an overnight, it's not a switch. It is an evolution. And that's, and that, it's an evolution and a revolution, right? So that's what's cool about it. You brought up, which we've had Rywire Ryan on the podcast, and he's done a great job of acknowledging and respecting and moving on. So if you were to build a EV vehicle, what would it be?
Well,
right now, I mean, you got your taste, you got your, you know, your accoutrements, your aesthetic, right? Again, your Prelude is your unit of measure with the Martini kind of inspired livery. And it's just, and that, I remember I had a 96 Civic hatchback. So I always aspire to have your Prelude. I always thought that was a great car. Yeah, but
I appreciate that. I mean, that chassis has kind of become this trademark of mine, and that was never really the intent per se, because when I first bought that car, I had my EG hatch, which was actually the first car that was featured in Honda Tuning in 2005, and then I've had Accords. I still have an Accord wagon.
What year?
A 96.
Oh, sick.
96, black on gray. I'm actually going to restore that and bring it back out as just a fun cruiser. But, you know, the Prelude, you know, being built from top to bottom like a hot rod, that's where you get inspirations from, like SEMA, where you see these cars that are built basically on rotisseries, and every nut and bolt is either brand new or custom or zinced, or, you know, the whole thing is coated, powder coated, ceramic coated, Cerakoted, painted, tumbled, etc. That car to me, a chassis is just a canvas. And I think sometimes people inadvertently focus too much on the chassis. And if you aspire to build the best, insert any chassis of any year you want, what happens when you achieve that goal, if you ever do? You've now built the best singular chassis. It's a very small goal, right? What if you just want to build the best car, the best piece of art that you can? And once you start to look at it like that, think bigger, if you will, right? It's the truth. There's a lot of guys who are still trying to build the best, you know, Civic, and I'm like, all right, that's actually a very, very major accomplishment, because there are so many crazy builds. So then, okay, cool, what happens if you get there? Then you've now built the best Civic, and you've capped yourself. What about building Honda that can go up against, in the context of Battle of the Builders at SEMA, something that will be forced to be acknowledged as an actual full-on true build on stage, figuratively and literally, with some of the best, most well-rounded cars on planet Earth. That's why I was able to do that, because I stopped thinking in such a tunnel, if you will. So what would I build as an EV? That's actually more difficult than I would want it to be as far as the answer, because I just think there's too many chassis, right? So I actually had this conversation with Ryan from Ridewire, and we were like, dude, there's a lot of space in my Accord wagon. We can make that thing stupidly fast, like scary fast. There's so much space to put, it could put four drive units, right? Whether it be Tesla ones or not, make it rear wheel, make it all wheel, make it convertible, you know, from front or the bias, and then the space to put the battery so I could have 300-400 mile range, because I, you know, there's just so much place. Like if you look at the EG and the EK chassis that Ryan from Ridewire is doing, you only have so much space, right?
Yeah.
Understandable. And he's fine with that. And he's creating one to have a little bit less and one to have more. But then when you have something with enough body and space where you could put much more, you know, we kind of went into it and it was like, okay, it'd be kind of expensive. Not kind of, it would be very expensive, but it would be cool. You have a stock looking Accord wagon that makes like 900 or 600 or 700 all wheel and gets a 400 mile range. Would be wild, right?
But
not to be vague with the answer, but the amount of chassis, that it's almost secondary to me. I mean, I would do another Z like I did on Discovery Channel. I just picked up another project with Top Rank, so shout out to Top Rank and my boy Brian. I haven't picked it up, paperwork's all done, it's here.
What is it?
So yeah, so you guys just gotta subscribe to my YouTube channel,
right?
You subscribe to the YouTube channel and my Instagram, and I will share these things as we get to the point where I can actually have physically extracted it from there. I mean, I've gone there, I've driven it, it's great, but and I've already started hoarding parts. I started hoarding parts before I even had the car, but my point is, man, is like, honestly, I have a DC5 that I'm doing with Turn 14, I have a few chassis, and so. Yeah, Honda, Japanese, sure. But then I've ridden in a 57 Bel Air that was converted to EV. I've sat in a 32, 33 Ford body that was EV. And so you have this, like, my mind doesn't stay within, necessarily a Japanese, much less a front-wheel drive type chassis. Yeah. I immediately start thinking, let's do something weird or cool, or I don't know, man. Like, there's so many options. I don't know. So sorry for that. I don't know. My Accord wagon has actually physically been brought up with Ryan. So I mean, let's just go with that then. But okay. I don't know, man. I like that car the way it is. So
yeah, 96 Accord wagon is such a, it's, you either love them or you hate them. It's like a Wago van, right? The Wago van and Odysseys, and what BC did with his Odyssey back in the day. I mean, you're a Honda guy, man. You're the H badge, and it's cool what our boy Kenji is doing over at Greddy. His builds are so sick. The CRX and all that. Yeah, it's so funny right here now. It's happening now. Basically, the Honda and tuner kids are getting the cars that they always wanted. Right. It's Barrett Jackson at Meekum.
Sure.
The cars are the former Dodge, Mopar or classic Fords are being replaced with NSXs or, even just a mint EG hatchback or people are right. I mean, you heard that one story of the dude buying the Type R and putting it in a building. Do you know that guy? I feel like you'd know there. A dude bought a championship white, obviously. Type R, put it in a build and built a wall around it, just encapsulate it. So he's like, I'm not going to touch it. And then I think, I don't know when he's cracking the seal on it. This is years ago. Do you remember this?
No, you know what? Truthfully, I actually don't know that individual personally. I do recall hearing about that, but I don't know that person personally.
Yeah.
But okay. So, just to touch on something, it's not a personal thing, but I got to do it, right? It's very, very common in 2024, 2023, and every year preceding, when people think of and use the word Honda, they follow it with kids. And I'm going to address that because you just said it right now.
Did I say Honda kids?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Does that, and I have to put that to rest, because if you have Hondas that are faster than GTRs, some of the fastest cars on planet Earth are the all-wheel drive Hondas. some of the best builds on planet Earth from the ground up, whether it be in the context of SEMA's Battle of the Builders or not. I cannot allow the word kids to be used because I'm 41 years old, right? And Kenji is older than I am.
But aren't you a kid at heart? Like, it's kind of like a term of endearment.
No? Man, I don't know. I don't like it because...
If I pat you on the head when I say that, that's definitely demeaning.
No,
I'm a Honda kid. I'm a tuner kid.
Okay, well, I mean, see, there's nothing childish about it. So the word kid and child, I don't like it because it inadvertently downplays it. You have grown men spending very, very grown amounts of money long before Barrett and Meekum got into it, long before Pebble Beach allowed the JAI to even exist. So we're in a world where even very, very different levels of people, tax bracket and otherwise, are now forced to acknowledge the reality of Japanese cars, Hondas included. So we didn't need their cosign for our culture to exist. Right.
Yep.
But let's just use that. Pebble Beach, consider Pebble and Amelia are like the two uppermost bourgeois Concours d'Elegance events. Right.
Yep.
OK.
Yep.
So now we have a Japanese automotive invitational where they are acknowledging by force. Let's just call it what it is. Japanese cars in that realm of the world. Right. We didn't need them because the value rose without them. And now it just went up even higher because of them. So I'm just using the them. There's no dig. But what I'm saying is that our culture existed. And we have been representing it. We are not kids. Yes, NSXs were expensive, but some of the guys now hoarding parts for 20 years to be able to put together a Mugen NSX or put together a well-restored. None of these things are anywhere near childish.
Yep.
None of them. Except you might have got into it when you were 16, but you're now 36, 46. Kenji's not young. Jackson Sr. has been messing with Hondas for 40 years, right? And so Oscar? I'm just like, nah, man, I don't like it when people say Honda kids. That irritates me.
All right. Well, you know, I digress. And you fought a good fight right there. And I appreciate that. I don't, you know, I hope I didn't offend you, but I appreciate the acknowledgement. I know what you're saying. I get it. And you know, I put that on as a youthful type of reference, but you know I food for thought right there. And that's, thinking bigger.
In my mid-30s, I would go places. Early 40s. Oh, hey, Honda we heard kids. You're into cars. What are you into? Oh, I love all kinds of cars, but I have Japanese cars like Hondas. And they're like, aren't you too old for that? And I'm like, no, I'm not. So that's kind of
that's
where,
your classy.
Yeah. So anyways, man. But I mean, like I said, I did the Datsun with Discovery Channel. I have the new project I have. It's not a project. It's actually in very good condition. I'm going to just restore some pieces and get period correct items for it and cruise it. But that's a Toyota. So I grew up with Toyotas and Hondas. So I have a love for a very large group. I just came back from Miami. I'm on the panel and I'm a judge for a Concours d'Elegance in Miami called the Motor Car Cavalcade. And that is a Concours. So you're talking about almost anything and everything but Japanese cars. You know, $30 million cars, $300,000 restorations, Duesenbergs, you name it, right? So my appreciation has expanded a lot over the years, you know? So when I used to write for Honda Tuning, but then I ended up writing for Import Tuner and Super Street. So that was all non-Hondas a lot of the time, right? I had to learn about the VIP build. So Toyota and Lexus and Nissans and, you know, big body sedans and drift cars. So people associate me with the Hondas, understandably. But, you know, that's just one chassis.
Yeah, and I think people associate you with a level of craftsmanship or an attention to detail. I would say that is why... You know, you're getting calls of, hey, come host this. Like, people, you know, they're not calling you, say, hey, Big Mike, you're a Honda kid, come do this stuff. No, you're like, yo, I'm Big Mike, and I have this attention to detail. And like you said, you're playing with the Ring Brothers, you're playing with, you know, Speedcore, Sean Smith, you know, like those level of builds. Doesn't matter the chassis, it just matters the attention to detail. And that's why I think you were in the room. And you got that respect where respect
dude, that's
is
a very
due.
That's very kind of you to say. That's a big deal to me because you know in those worlds those guys are. I mean, look at what they build. Good goodness gracious! Like you
and
know, so
on a consistent level too. It's not just a one and done. You know,
crazy beautiful just art utter art, you know? So, I mean, you know, I ended up being cool with Mike and Jim Ring, and we see each other at SEMA. I shake their hands. And you know, so like you said, you know, SEMA provided the opportunity to be able to rub shoulders with some of these people. And so, yeah, man, I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. And I mean, the EV evolution is evolution, revolution, the way you said earlier, was actually on point, because whether you like it or not, whether you get it or not, it's here. It's only going to get bigger. The Electrify Expo is an example of how there's an entire like blossoming series off of something that some people still think doesn't even hold water. Ironic, you know, figure of speech there. But yet you have a show series across the nation that's only getting bigger. And I know, you know, like at the Long Beach one, half the, you know, half the show series of cars there, I knew half those guys. And then, you know, seeing what they're doing with cars, it, you know, people think, oh, they're just putting, you know, aero and lowering it. That's not how that works. People are thinking that that's how that works, and that's not, you know, so it is the creatives out there, builders and people who are out of the box thinkers, they're going to end up finding ways, like they are, to just keep building cool shit. And that's what they're doing.
No, it's cool. And like, you know, the Chin brothers, Neil Chin specifically, you know, curating Electrify Show Off and those cars and his build, like the Mach-E, you know, the build there, that was sick. And those are things that, well, and again, it's just progression. You know, here's drifting, how now the manufacturers and the OE. So one, the manufacturers are adopting it and embracing it, right? So Nissan, Ford, Toyota, right? They're building an 86 or the Z, or, you know, with Forsberg or Vaughn and Frederick Osbo and Ryan Turk. And then the aftermarket. So I think the aftermarket is catching up with the EV. It's not just, you know, the Prius is just, it's a doorstop, you know, but you can, now there's that new Toyota Prius. It's like
the new body. Listen,
bro,
it looks really good. Yeah. I saw
Mark Arsenal shout out. Mark's like, yo, who's got the line on one of these things? Because I saw one like the day before. I was like, dang, that's like fire.
Dude, the gray one, I've seen a couple of gray ones on the freeway, and I'm looking at it like, dude, if that was just a little bit lower on a good set of wheels, you kind of don't even really
need to mess on everything. Right.
T the world. But yeah, man, I mean, like when I see the gray one, I see it on like, you know, T37 SLs and like press double black. That's like what I have on my Prelude. And I immediately just kind of translated because it's darker than Nardo. But, you know, I saw one, and then my boy Freddie at Auto Fashion, they have, I think even they might have two of maybe different colors that are going to, you know, come out pretty soon as far as, you know, builds. Yeah. So there's people, you know, whether you're doing it in that way, and then you have Ryan who's building them from the ground up, making kits, unlocking potential for the 90s golden era chassis per se, or not really necessarily. Some of the stuff he's designing, it can be used really in any chassis, right? You obviously have to physically place the items, you know, in where they need to be, but he's going to probably create kits that, you know, you won't need to use just in an EG or an EK or a DC. Yeah. It's going to, you know, span the scope of probably 89 to 01 chassis and then beyond, right? So it's here, man. It's here. I look forward to seeing what people do. Will I do one? I mean, I will, but I don't aspire to do one anytime soon, per se. DC5 with turn 14, the Toyota from Japan, the Accord wagon, my Prelude. I'm having so much fun with those that I have absolutely no inclination to dilute my time and money towards personally building an EV at this moment. I want to complete, so to speak, some of these. And then, sure. By that time, things will be a little bit more streamlined. And, you know, Ryan's one of my closest friends, so working with him is 100% going to happen if and when I do one for myself.
Think bigger projects, think bigger podcasts. What else do you have cooking, and what's your intention there? And also, who's a dream guest outside of me being on your podcast?
The Think Bigger project, it simply came to exist because at the behest of people who knew me, followed me via, you know, I mean, I closed my Facebook account like 15 years ago. So all I have is Instagram. I don't use anything else. I've never had Snapchat. I do not have a TikTok. YouTube just kind of came a thing about 2 years ago for me, just to put stuff out that I like. But yeah, it's a lifestyle and mindset brand for people that are, you know, trying to, you know, grow. And I mean, that's a theme that's very commonplace now with podcasts and Herman Lab and you know, you just name them and they're all out there, and amazing content. Those tend to be, in a little bit more subspecifically, but you know, people, it occurred to me at some point that enough people were saying, hey, when we had this conversation, I thought that there was a lot of value in it. You helped me process, or you shed light on a different facet of this depressive state I'm in, or this marital issue, or this familial issue, like really deep stuff, right? And then even kids, I have kids, I call them kids, but you know, an 18-year-old is an adult by legality, right? But they're right. Messaging me, asking me, you know, I'm about to graduate from high school. What do you think I should do with my life? What should I go into? And I'm like, you know, at first I want to be like, do you have a father? Like, where's your father? No.
I'm not laughable, but yeah, I hear.
Yeah, because they're having that conversation with me, effectively a stranger, right? But then it occurred to me to understand that the reality of the world that we're in is that social media is raising an entire generation of people, and then you have this in between generation, like myself, who remember life without the internet, without smartphones, and then without social media, and then now it is 100% integrated into business, into life, into everything. So instead of being, you know, boomer, as they say, and just being like, I don't want anything to do with it, I say, okay, hold on, let me embrace it and understand the reality of, if a person reaches out to me and asks an extremely personal, private, hardcore, multi-layered question, that deserves a meaningful response, right? Mm-hmm. And after that started happening enough times, and people were like, you know, what you said via DM or in person or email or whatever, forums, was like, you really should put this in a place where others would be able to listen to it too. So I am not really all that comfortable doing it. People don't, you know, I'm on a stage and I'll host an event, and people don't understand that after that event is done, my social battery is gone, and I just want to go back to my hotel room and just fall asleep watching Law and Order SVU. You know, like, I'm not trying to go. Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm just being honest. Like, you know, when you accept a job, if you're going to be in front of people, you can't be blasé. You can't be monotone. You embrace it. You do your job. But people don't know that inside you're just like, I am so uncomfortable. But then you do it. You do it because you embraced that, you accepted that job or responsibility. So a podcast allows you to be within your own space. You know, obviously, if you have guests, they're there or on the phone. But a lot of times I gather the DMs and conversations I've had via live stream on my Instagram, which is called Community Conversations. It could be 1, 2, 5, 20 people. And I put together these conversations we had, and I'll put an episode together, and I just feel blessed to be able to do that and have people follow it and care about it enough where they subscribe to it and have found value and share that value with me on how they're implementing it into their life. So it's cathartic and therapeutic for me, and apparently it's that same way for others. So it's a really weird, cool blessing.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, we're going to talk about EVs and talk about cars, but I think there's something deeper to that you're trying to execute as far as what you do in professional life, what you do as a hobby, what you've monetized as far as a passion, and having that, you know, people aspire, or you know, you've motivated people. And like you said, where's your dad? Well, you know, like, again, yeah, I have, you know, a damn near adult. He'll be 18 here in July. So like you said, you know, technically speaking, he will be an adult, but at the end of the day, you know, he's takes a village, right? Takes a village. And that's, sure, you know, sure. Vaughn Gittin Jr., you know, I'll tell you a story real quick. It's my birthday. I think I was turning like 35 or something, or I can't remember. Birthday bike ride, bar crawl at a bunch of homies, Forsberg Turk, Vaughn Gittin Jr. I go upstairs, go change. I come down. I was trying to teach my now 17-year-old to ride a bike. I'd pat him up, throw him down a grass hill. I go upstairs, come down. They're like, Parker just rode a bike on two wheels. I've been trying to do it. But it took Vaughn Gittin Jr. to tell him, like, keep going, buddy, keep going. And he basically got him ride a bike. I wasn't even around. It was funny. But I say that because we're, you know, somebody might be damning you because they feel safe, and you have a potential likability. There's something, it might not just be the build, but it's how you did it and how you deliver your message, either it being, no pun intended, a vehicle, being the vehicle, sure, or just that mindset. So thinking bigger and thinkers and this whole, I love it. I'm here for it, man. And like you said, when you're on that stage, and I've been announcing Formula Jet for 20 years and presenting and announcing. And when people, hey man, I like what you do. And you get haters too. At the same time, sure. You know, haters are just fans in denial. You know what I mean? Like you hate us because you ain't us. Why do people hate Tom Brady? You know, good looking, healthy, like 45 years old, you know, once married to a supermodel, all these things, all those aspirational things. You hate him because you ain't him. Because, you know, it is what it is.
I mean, that's what people do. There's going to be people who will find a fault or make a fault out of anything, right? But I mean, you know, like it takes a certain kind of everyone's got a different way, right? Like when you announce, there's a certain amount of like, you know, from the diaphragm, you know, you enunciate, you have passion, but you're not over the top. It's not cartoonish, but you have a style that other people host or whatever where that works. And it's like Jamaican horns and throw money at the crowd kind of energy. That works in certain environments. You need that in certain environments. And then if someone was a little bit more calm and monotone in a Formula Drift setting, it would not work at all. The crowd would just like riot in the streets, you know? If it was right, just like, you know, I was like, and he's clipping on the second pass. Like, that's just not going to work, right? Like, so everyone's got their place. And it ended up just being a more specific, personal type of context where I realized what was happening, and people were like, you know, you should do something with that. So that's why the podcast and the brand even exists, because people asked me to make it a thing that you could go to .com, a Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora playlist. I would never have done that on my own. It was really people telling me that you should do it because we believe others will find the same value in it. And I was like, that's a profound compliment. I need to sit down and embrace this technology. And that's kind of like a microcosm of the whole EV thing, right? Like, you don't have to know about it or comprehend it, because it is complex, and you can absolutely kill yourself if you do not do it right. If you do not do it right, or use the right gloves, or you cross, you know, when you do AC/DC or you cross terminals on a battery, you can mess yourself up. On an EV car with 400 or 700, you can die. Okay. So yeah. So anyways, my point is like, I kind of liken it to that. It's like, you don't have to necessarily like it, know about it, but it's here, it's reality. So would it really hurt you to familiarize yourself with it? You don't have to go out and build something or buy something, but I mean, it is here and it's here to stay. So why not, you know, prevent it from being so distant and foreign in that sense? So that when you go to an event, even if you were like, I will never build an EV, you cannot just look at a build and walk away from it. If you familiarize yourself, and as someone who's judged many, many events all over, I think I'm more inclined to do that, where I can stop and be like, okay, now hold on. I may not have ever wanted to do this, but I can appreciate what I'm seeing here. And as I walk this way or open this or get underneath something, I'm like, okay, wow, that was executed really well. I never would have thought about doing this. And all that does is just help you think bigger and expand your abilities as an observer and an enthusiast. That's at the bare minimum. That's what it will do for you. So, you know, I get it, though. I get it. It's not cool in a lot of ways that I relate to, but I'm also not that closed-minded.
Well, and, you know, I always say, you know, if you want to know something about cars, just car, like if you want to know about, you're like, I've never seen that, what is that? Oh, it's an AMC Javelin, you know, like but go ask the owner. Just that's all you got to do. Like, hey, tell me about your car, and they're going to be way more passionate about it than they are. And you gain some knowledge, right? So I think, you know, that's where it's, people are, you know, again, EVs are, they're like, oh, it's just this, it's that. That's just like your opinion, man. Like, you have kind of a, let's just call it a prejudice, clinically speaking. So you're prejudging what this vehicle is capable of, what it's about. But then when you start to educate yourself and educate others, then now there's a conversation happening.
Yeah, like on a more mainstream application of that, if you see a Porsche Taycan, right?
Yeah.
On the freeway, nobody looks at that and is going to just be like, yeah, that's a POS. No. Yeah. It looks good. It's big body. It's classy. And then it just flies. It absolutely flies. Yeah. Now, I mean, I can see why people would be like, I don't care about, you know, plaid mode on a Tesla, right? But at the same time, it flies, right? So wherein does the speed and the velocity and the acceleration aspect of your enthusiasm,
you undeniable,
know, how do you weigh that, you know?
Yep. Yep.
So like they were having what, the exhibition at SEMA last year, who was it again with their EV drift car?
Well, Vaughn Mach E 1400.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ryan, I didn't get a chance to, because I was actually work when I don't have a car on display, or sometimes even when I do social media with SEMA, with and for yep. SEMA. So I cover Battle of the Builders and stuff. So I don't always have time to do some of those things, but Ryan did, and you know, I always link up with him daily at SEMA, and he said he got a ride in that, and you know, Ryan's not unfamiliar, but he got in, and he was like, dude, the thing almost made me queasy, like it was ridiculously fast, like scary fast, like unprepared for fast, even though you already know it's gonna be. And then you get in it and he, you know, pushes on the throttle and it just goes, and you're like, dear God, right? And then you know, you sit in something, obviously it's a certain amount of money, but you sit in a Porsche and you're just like, this is classy and I can pull this up anywhere and it makes no noise and it's faster than all hell. So you know, where do you really want to be that angry about it? I mean, I don't know, man. Like I said, I don't aspire to build one before a series of other things, but am I going to just hate it forever? No, man, it's here, whether you like it or not.
Yeah. Anybody on this podcast, you kind of have to be a little, you have to be a lot open-minded.
Sure.
Because it, you know, here is, you know, the president of Electrify Expo, BJ Burtwell, who I knew when he's at McGuire's and then progresses into Dodge and Mopar and helped build that. I mean, talk about, you know, a large OE and what Dodge as a manufacturer has done. Like you hate it, you know, the PT Cruiser, but as you know, as it's a neon of the body kit, Dodge as a manufacturer has been wildly creative. I mean, look at the cars they've made, from a Prowler, a Viper, a PT Cruiser,
right,
probably one of the most again, just
those are out
one of the most those are out there, and you know, you hate, again, you hate them because you ain't them, but and as you know, as wonky as a PT Cruiser is, it's still progressive as a manufacturer. Anyways, but BJ Burtwell having the foresight and the angle of, hey, let's build with it, and there's something there. So Electrify Expo, more rounds here in 2024, complementing it with the aftermarket, matching and pairing it up with you know, two wheels, four wheels, accessibility, EV, and you know, we're just talking about cars because that's our space, you know. Again, just being a tuner gentleman, not a kid, a tuner gentleman, and now having you know, I get excited about it. And I was telling, again, I was at Snap-on yesterday and telling them about, I host this podcast, but I'm coming at it from an eager piece of clay that can be molded, and as opposed to just a callus, you know, having Larry Chen on here, and he's like, I miss the sound, I miss the shifting, but you can do that now. Like there's you know, there's gear. Okay, look at, see, here we go. You're like, I don't know.
It's interesting.
It's always interesting, the audio. It's always the shifting.
It's interesting to create the dynamic in which there is a shift and a pause and a like a loading up as if you're doing gear to gear. I mean, there is a certain amount of acknowledgement to that being a little weird and quirky, that you're simulating that experience to give the driver that feel. It's literally
a placebo.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. So, but here's the thing, right? Do I think that is the bridge that would actually work for like a nice middle ground of people who are like, I'm not just automatic, you know? And then they're all of a sudden like, oh, wait, I get to shift. And there's like that slight, you know, slight delay. I think that might be enough for someone to just say, okay, I get the feeling that I'm shifting and, if this is fast and to gas up. And I mean, obviously, you know, we can get into the whole, do the states have the infrastructure, especially places like California, to deal with, you know, a million EV cars trying to charge at the same time throughout the same day. That's probably a whole different episode. But yeah, man, I mean, it is what it is. And I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, I think it's cool. I think that you're moldable. I mean, obviously, you know, hosting FD for, you're around nothing but just the craziest sounds of the craziest combustion engines. And you're like, well, I'm open to an EV. So that's cool, man. And people like yourself and Ryan and other people will help, I think, you know, subconsciously kind of open the minds of a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
And then this podcast and the expo will allow them to see it with their own eyes in their part of the country. We, like you said, we're just talking about cars. But when I went to the Long Beach Electrify Expo last year, so walking around with Ryan from RideWire, and you know, I know some of the OEs that were there, etc. Man, there's like 30, 40 vendors for just bikes of some type. Right. I mean, there's just any type of bike or scooter or two wheelie, anything. It exists now. Fancy, rugged, street, whatever you could think of. And then obviously people modify them. But I mean, dude, the amount of scooter-esque things moving around that expo, I was like, dude, what is this? Like, I want to ride about 50% of these. They just look cool. I don't know what they're capable of. I don't know how they're comparing themselves as far as charging time to distance and all that. But if you want some, if you're going to just be cruising around the streets, work, yeah, if you live city life type of deal, I mean, you can't really knock the potential applicability and slash coolness factor. If you're going to buy a $2,000 road bike, you can buy a $900 scooter. I mean, you're not not going to make yourself any healthier, but, you know, but I get it, right? I get it. It's filling a niche, you know?
Yep.
So it's cool. I mean, dude, it's just, it's here to stay, man. It's here to stay.
Yep. And yeah, so Super 73 to Jackrabbit. What's your, you know, again, success, right? The secret is that opportunity and filling that solution, right? So finding the solution there. So yeah,
I think it's really cool. And I'm interested to see. I mean, just like when they did all wheel drives with let's say Hondas and drag racing for a while, they were like, they realized what was happening and they had to create their own class, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. You're gonna end up having, on let's say on the show side, you're gonna have the Ring Brothers or Detroit Speed or the Roadster shops or somebody is gonna build one of these ultra open checkbook high end fantastic things using this EV scenario, and all of a sudden the people who are the diehard fans of them are going to rock with it. I mean, you know, there's a few out there. You know, my boy Mikey Rolls from Salvage to Savage.
He's
out there in Boca Raton. He's been on my the newest episode of my podcast. He was on. And he has an EV C10 that he did for a customer. It's already happening in the hot rod world as far as like aggressively hot roddy. Like, I don't know how many people have done ultra super high end builds, but it's going
down. You hear that, Mike? It's going down right now. Like SEMA Show 24, Electrify Expo, the builds are there. It's already happening. And I love this. I love hosting and having, you know, BJ called me up, says, "Hey man, we want to kind of shift gears to the podcast." And I was like, "Okay, I don't own an EV. but he's like, "No, we just want kind of education." So bringing on Pastrana, talking about Nitrocross, bringing on RideWire yourself, you know, again, Randy Pope's most recently, I mean, an absolute legend, been racing since 77, long and I've been born, but, you know, racing the Unplugged Performance, Tesla, Plaid, you know, and just, it's fun, man. And that's the diversity that I like to bring onto this podcast. So such as yourself, you know, being the gentleman that you are, and your exposure, it's just perspective. It's just absolutely just perspective. Yeah.
No, it's very meaningful, man. I mean, like you said, like you just said about being called about this, and it's like, it's not necessarily our specific space. There are already people who are becoming or are experts within that space, but yet, you know, we get to be here. I get to be on this with you, you know, so shout out to everyone involved, the Chin Brothers, Randy, yourself, you know, just the people who decided that I would, you know, bring value and perspective to this. It's meaningful to me, man. I don't allow those things to go over my head, although I'm a little bit on the short side, so they can, but I don't allow that to bother me.
Again, that's why I say physically big Mike, but you know, I think more emotionally he's bigger Mike. So big heart, big thinker.
Right in this area, waistline as well, but this aspirations, heart, spirit, goals.
Right.
Big.
Who you didn't answer that one. Who's your dream guest on your podcast?
You know what, man, to be truthful with you, this might sound like a deflection, but I don't actually have to me. I mean, okay, so hold on. So I've had very big time individuals such as Sung Kang, Daniel Wu. You know, yeah. I know them, and Sung was on, and I was grateful for his time. Daniel, I've become acquainted with over the years, and we're, you know, very cordial. We get to communicate. So those in their rights, those are very huge stars, right? Mm-hmm. But to be honest with you, I don't really care about stardom or fame or a blue check next to somebody's name, right? Mm-hmm. I don't, that doesn't have any relevance to me in the context of life, right? Mm. So if anything, someone who may have had a different type of upbringing is less relatable, not more, right? Mm. Now, I'm just using that as an example. We're all human beings. For men, like I said, men's mental health has not really been a thing that has, it's only come to the light publicly to even address, because for the most part, you just have to just do whatever the hell you have to do, and nobody really cares if you're exhausted or hurt. And men have just kind of, you just do it. And so a person who has a huge name, of course, would be cool. But at the same time, you know, I've had some of the most profound, enlightening conversations with somebody that no one has ever heard of in their entire life, simply because I talked to them. And yeah. And so what does their name have to do with it? It has to do with their life and their experiences and their philosophies and their ethics and their morals and how they've processed or not processed the stuff that they're going through. Right. So I don't know, man, I'm game. I mean, I'm game for anyone who thinks that what the premise of is of value, and they might have gone or are going through things that they feel that they can share something that would benefit one other human being on planet Earth. If that sounds like you, then you're my dream guest. Whoever hears this, if what I just said sounds like you, then you're the dream guest. Because I don't care about anyone being famous or not. I care about something to share.
The content of one's character. Yeah, the content of one's character. And everybody's got a story, right? And if you're willing to listen and expunge that and kind of elaborate on your perspective, because whatever your two eyes have seen from birth to now, that's your perspective. And that's why I was like, okay, yeah, I get it. Let's get Mike on here. And then I was like, oh, okay, the big Mike. Got it. And I think that's what's refreshing about it. So I appreciate your perspective. And yeah, man, no, for sure.
That's really kind of you to say.
Yeah, maybe in 2025, I'll be on your podcast. So we'll see.
I mean, you know what, dude? We're only halfway through the second month of 24, so maybe we'll make it happen in this year.
Right. Happy belated Valentine's, by the way.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. You know, it's funny because for everyone listening, the reason why Jared just said that is the Think Bigger podcast is on year 3. And I think it was about halfway through year 1 that I was like, you know what? People are saying that I should have guests. And I'm acquainted with X, Y, and Z person. Jared's well-spoken. Jared's got some life experience. It would be cool to ask Jared. And so I asked Jared, and he was like, dude, I'm down. Big Mike, we'll make it happen. And then a month, 6 months, a year. And we blink our eyes and we see each other at SEMA. And he's like, dear God, I still haven't been on your podcast. And meanwhile, people like Sung Kang have given their time, Daniel, and a bunch of other people. Yeah. But you know what, though? So it's all good. The point being is that... you know, I anyone who I think would have something to share of value, I would love to have them on. So anyone that listens, you know, it's called the Think Bigger podcast, hosted by myself, Big Mike. It's on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts,
wherever podcasts are available.
Yeah, wherever they are. So, you know, it's really cool to be able to do that. This is very separate. Cars brought us all together, and I have a space like I do Car Talk with Ryan from RyeWire, specific to cars, and the events that I do that are automotive based, of course. And then there's this is about life, and we can talk or not talk about cars. Many of the guests are car people or people who started off that I met in the car world, but they are now married, they're fathers, they're entrepreneurs, they're laypersons, they're tradespeople. So it's not so much their monetary anything, it's if they have something of value to share. And so it's very diverse. It's different, because a lot of people think we're going to go in there and just talk about like Hondas and it's not that, man. It's pretty personal, pretty deep and pretty personal.
No, that's great, man. Well, I appreciate your insight. Appreciate what you do for not only the automotive world, but the world in general, and thinking bigger, you know, not just the podcast name. It's by design. So Mike, we're going to check it out. Again, Think Bigger podcast, Big Mike on YouTube. wherever podcasts are available. The Big Mike with one E, The Big Mike on Instagram.
On Instagram, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Anything else you want to plug?
No, man. This was amazing. I appreciate your time. I appreciate y'all having me. And I mean, I just look forward to seeing the evolution of what we all do.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, thank you so much. Big Mike in the building. Thank you so much. And again, be sure we'll see you at Electrify Expo in Long Beach, bro.
Yeah, man. I'll see you guys soon.
All right. Peace.
All right. Peace, man.
Thanks for listening to the Electrify podcast, brought to you by the creators of Electrify Expo. Be sure to catch full video episodes on YouTube at Electrify TV and follow along on social media for daily clips and more.